veins in her neck. And pray and ask the Lord to take care of it. It looks like he's taken care of it. We're thankful for that. We're so glad she's here. She got out of the hospital yesterday. Good to see her. God bless her. Good to see Grandma Sue. Grandma Sue's here this morning with us, and she's coming back from heart surgery. Let's give both these ladies a great hand. Amen. God bless you. By the way, Davey Ballard preached this morning to the teenagers. He did a great job. We're glad about that. He'll be preaching tonight. He'll be speaking in the 6 p.m. service. He always is a boy, that message he preached last time. Savior, the sweetness of the Savior. Wow, what a message. And knocked that right out of the ballpark. And come back tonight. I'm telling you, the kid can preach. Great singer, great preacher. Doing a phenomenal job in the school. And he'll be preaching tonight. We're glad to have our friends Joe and Cindy Tutak from Toodly Doo. And, of course, Pam, Davey's mom. And so we're good to have her from Toledo, too. Amen. And so we're just glad to see all of them. Of course, Pam and Cindy are sisters. And they both have that laugh that's so distinguished. And even more than Lizzie White's laugh. And so, all righty. I'm glad you're here today. Romans this Tuesday, 7 o'clock. Romans Tuesday, 7 o'clock. We're going to finish justification. Don't miss, because the following Tuesday, I'll be in Hammond. So we've really got to do it this Tuesday, and we're going to finish the end of justification. Amen? The illustration and the application of justification. By the way, I preached Wednesday night about the application. you that came Wednesday got to hear a little bit of that Romans teaching that I'm going to be teaching this Tuesday. All righty. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. We're glad to have visitors with us today. God bless you folks for visiting. Please come back and be with us again and again and again. We're so thankful that you're here. Mona, there's some folks here that know you that visit in the back there. They know you. And amen. We're glad. And it's a young couple that Brother Dave was talking about, Brother York, and we're glad that they came. God bless you folks. Good to have those young folks. Good to have each one of you. God bless. Good to see each one of you. Alrighty, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. It's great to see every one of you. Good to see Brian. I know he had trouble with his heart lately. Did they give me the talk afterwards? Tell me about the result. Have they given you the results on the test yet?
They haven't called me back.
Okay, let me know when it happens, okay? And so, we're glad for each one of you, though. I'm going to talk to you this and preach to you this morning about 50 years. 50 years holding forth and fast. 50 years holding forth and fast. I got preaching on the blood in our justification Tuesday night. And I got so excited about the blood of Christ, I said, I'm going to bring a message where I can put that blood in. Amen. And so, Let's look at the Philippians chapter 2. Oh, I had a great time teaching adult Sunday school. Man, I had a great time in the adult class. Tried to work with the adults on their finances and stuff like that. And to think on things first. I preached a message on think on these things in the 10 o'clock hour. If you didn't get a chance to hear that, maybe, I don't know. Did we record that 10 o'clock service, Danny? Is the 10 o'clock service recorded? The 9:30 rather? If you didn't get a chance, maybe you can get one of the men to run the copy off, and they can get that for you. All righty. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. How many are glad you're a child of God? Without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked... Boy, if this doesn't describe where we're living today... In a crooked and perverse nation, but even though it's crooked and perverse, look what God wants us to do. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. We live in a dark world, Tommy, and God says we're the light of the world. We need to light up Bethel Baptist Church. We need to light up a dark world for Christ. Amen. Look at verse 16, my text verse. Holding forth the word of life. I circled that word, holding forth, that I might Rejoice in the day of Christ. When Christ comes, we're going to rejoice for the 50 years we did here at Bethel Baptist Church. Amen. That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for the precious word of God. Thank you for everyone that's here, every man, lady, boy, and girl. Pray that they'll be blessed today by being in God's house. Pray you encourage them. Lord, again, I hold Bobby Clifford's mama up to you. Please help her, Father, and be with Judy as she stands by her mama. And Lord, just bless all our folks that couldn't come today. And Father, help me to do well for you today, please. Help me to do well that I could be a blessing to the people. Put your hand on me. Fill me with the Spirit of God. May everything I say and do glorify Jesus Christ. We ask these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Bethel Baptist Church was started in the year of 1956, according to our records. 50 years now, from 1956 to 2006, our church has preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by the way, I'm the seventh preacher that Bethel's had, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, amen? To the Jew first and also to the Greek, amen. For 50 years, Bethel Baptist Church has done what Philippians 2:16 says. We have holding forth the word of life. For 50 years, we have held forth the word of life. We've preached the word of God. We've told people about the Son of God. We've told them how to get to heaven through the blood of God, through the Son of God. Can anyone say amen? Amen. We have preached the gospel. We have taught this Holy Scripture, the Holy Bible. We have witnessed to our city. We have witnessed to the state and the county and the country and all the world. We have supported and sent out missionaries all over the world, not just even home, but even abroad to many different countries all over the world. For 50 years now, we have sent out the gospel light of Jesus Christ to a lost world that's in total darkness. And the world's in darkness. And they need light from Christ. Can anyone say amen? All this year of 2006, like Brother Carl said, this not just July 9th. This whole year of 2006, we've taken that one day to have a big celebration in honor. But as the deacon said, he was right. This whole year, Brother Brian, all 2006 is our jubilee. The whole year, today, we're going to have a big celebration on July 9th, 2006, but we should be celebrating this all year. Can anyone say amen? Amen. And so all this year, 2006, is our celebration of our jubilee of 50 years dedicated for the service of God. We're going to have a celebration of our past achievements for 50 years on July 9th. I'm excited about that. We're promoting it. We're planning. We're preparing. And I'm excited. I want you to, too. I want you to plan to be there that day. Can anyone say amen? I want you to ask people to come. I want you to pray for people to come. We're asking at least 500 people be there that day. I think we could see even more than that, to be honest with you. I think it's unknown to us what God could do if we'd really get going on this. We've asked God to save at least 25 people. See at least 25 people baptized that day. I think those are numbers we could really hit. Amen? And listen, we want everyone who ever had part in any way with this church to come. Not just them, but friends and family of ours. We want them all to be in on this special day. I'm asking my good friend Joe and Cindy to be here that day. We're asking Miss Pam, David's mama, to be here that day. We're going to be, you know, sending things to our family. I want you to send your family. And Brother Joe's a deacon back at the Heritage Baptist with his preacher, Dan House. But I'm hoping he can be excused that day and be here that with us that day. Amen? And did you ever wonder how many people, think with me now. I'll be preaching here just a minute. I'm just trying to lay a foundation. Did you ever think about how many people are going to be in heaven because of the efforts of 50 years here at Bethel Baptist Church? Of all the efforts of the bus workers? Of all the efforts of the super church workers? Of all the efforts of God bless you downstairs, the nursery workers? God bless the nursery workers. By the way, it's one of the most important parts of your church, taking care of them babies. That's how your young couples will come. You've got to have a good nursery to take care of their babies, or they won't come. All the teenagers, praise God. Think about it. Think about it with me. The senior programs, everything we've done, all the VBS, all the outreaches, all the missionaries, Tommy, all the missionaries that all over the world, how many people have been reached that we've sent out, that Mike, that we supported for 50 years. Right now we support 105 missionaries. Bethel Baptist Church has 105 missionaries all over the world. We've even sent some from our own church, like Brother Harold Pierce. Amen. We've got preacher boys that we planted over in Lima, Brother Billy Turner. We got another preacher boy that we sent over to Barberton, Brother Alan Miller. I mean, we planted churches. We've sent out missionaries. We've got missionaries. I mean, it's exciting. Think about all those things, Bethel. And all those people, as Brother Eddie sang earlier about the crowns, those are the jewels in the crowns. Can anyone say amen? Think with me. I believe 50 years of preaching the gospel, Brother Carl, for Christ at home and abroad in foreign fields, we will never fully see all what we've accomplished until we get to heaven. When we get to heaven, we'll see it all. Can anyone say amen? We'll see the untold multitudes that we were reached in the effort of men and women dedicated at this church down through the 50 years. 50 years we have held forth the light of Jesus Christ to a dark and perishing world. For 50 years in Ravenna, Ohio, there's been a gospel witness. For 50 years on this corner, Freedom, 745 Freedom and Kuman Avenue, for 50 years down in this corner, I know you're back here, but for 50 years right in this location, we've been preaching the gospel for 50 years. For 50 years, people could walk in here and hear about the Son of God. Could hear about how Christ died for them, how he rose again, how they could have eternal life and a home in heaven for free through the shed blood of Christ. 50 years. For 50 years, our city has heard the message of that Jesus saves. For 50 years, our city has heard John 3:16 preach, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Can anyone say amen? Amen. And for whosoever. So, as for whosoever will may come, call, believe on him. Amen? Think with me now. For 50 years, that's a half a century. Tommy's already thought about it. He's a thinker. 50 years. He's my deep thinker here, Tommy Saylor. It's a half a century. Century's 100. So the kids are catching up now. Duh. Half a century. Bethel Baptist Church for the glory of God has been holding forth the word of life. And for 15 years, I've been hollering it down here on 745 Freedom Street. Can anyone say amen? For 50 years, Bethel Baptist Church holding forth the word of life. Think with me, 50 years, each day, somewhere, someone from this church witnessing and telling someone about this, the story of Christ. For 50 years, each week. For 50 years, each month. For 50 years, every year after year after year. For 50 years, the cry of Christ rang out from someone's ears and someone's eyes. They heard and they saw the wonderful, glorious gospel of Christ. That excites me. That makes me feel good. I'm glad I'm part of that. Amen? What a heritage. Now, listen. Not only 50 years have we been holding forth to others so others can hear and be saved. For 50 years, Bethel Baptist Church has been holding not just forth, we've been holding fast the faithful word. Look at 2 Timothy with me. Turn up a little bit. Look at 2 Timothy 1:13. 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. I'm in 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the form of sound words. Can anyone say amen? Look at Titus 1:9. Turn up another book. Look at Titus 1:9. Holding fast. I'm in Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word. Let me see that. Now, as he had been taught that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For 50 words we've been, what's that word mean, exhort mean? To lift up. Exhort means you get excited. Preacher gets excited, don't he? I like to get excited about Jesus. We get excited about the Cleveland Indians. We get excited about the Cleveland Browns. We get the Cavaliers with the great, the best basketball player in the country, LeBron James, 23. Amen? Hello? If we get so excited about that and it's worldly and we'll all pass away, don't you think we should get excited about something that's not going to pass away? That's not worldly but heavenly? That's not temporal but eternal? Amen? So, Brother Carl, for 50 years, Bethel Baptist Church, not only has it held forth the Word of God, it's held fast the Word of God. What do you mean, preacher? We have never left the truth. We have passed down the truth given to us. Listen, Bethel Baptist Church for 50 years, it might have had their ups and downs. Every church has their ups and downs. Every church has their problems. You know why? Because, the church is filled with sinners. Did you know there's no one perfect in here? Not even me. I'm probably the worst guy of all. We're all full of holes. We all come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one, even though you think. And if we say we have no sin, the truth is not in us, and we lie. We all fall short of God's glory. But what's so great about Bethel, we have a Savior that's sinless. We have a Savior that's perfect. But as churches have problems because they're run by, and they have a bunch of people that, even though we have perfect standing now that we're saved, we're still in imperfect bodies. Can't even say amen. But even in the midst of all that, though, and I know there's been a lot of heartaches and troubles down the road, this church, Bobby, has never left the truth. It's always stayed firm on the doctrinal stands. It's never went into apostasy. In other words, it's never left truth that was handed down. Can anyone say amen? And we've never left the truth of God's word. We've held fast the truth of God. And never let it slip from us. I want you to look at a scripture with me. In the book of Jude. Little book of Jude. Right before Revelation. Look at verse 3. One little chapter. One chapter there. That's all it is. One little chapter. Right before the book of Revelation. The little book of Jude. Verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence. I'm in Jude. Verse 3. Right before the book of Revelation. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write to you. Of the common salvation. That's what salvation is. It's for common people, man. It's for the rich and the poor alike. Everybody can have salvation. It's whosoever will may come. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort. There's that word exhort again. Exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. God says, hey, earnestly means You're sincere beyond sincere. You'll fight for it. Contend means I'll fight for it. So much so, Eddie, that we'll fight. We won't let no one take it away from us. And for 50 years, Bethel Baptist Church has contended for the faith. We have held forth the faith, and we've stood fast in the faith. Can anyone say amen? Annie, we have not only stayed true to the word of the God of the Word. We've stayed true to the Word and the God of the Word. And we've not compromised the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and the third day He arose according to Scripture. And we've never compromised that. And the Bible says, if anybody else brings another gospel to you, Paul said in Galatians 1:9, let him be accursed. There's only one gospel that saves people, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. A lot of people have, see, we're not all the children of God. Oh, we don't care if they're Muhammad, Buddhas, or I don't care what they are. We're all the children of God. No, that's not true. We're not all the children of God. The book of Galatians teaches us we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. It matters who you have your faith in. If you believe in Buddha or Muhammad or anybody else besides Jesus Christ, you're not going to go to heaven. Jude said, contend for the faith. There are three major things our church, I believe, has contended for the faith for 50 years. And I'm going to give you those three and I'll let you go home. 50 years, Bethel Baptist Church has contended for the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. See, we don't have time to take this and go through all. I'm just going to quote you scriptures. We will look at some. But right from the very beginning, God, with Adam and Eve, when they sinned, God showed them that they would have to be redeemed by a blood, by a lamb. In Genesis 3:21, the Bible says, "And God clothed Adam and Eve." Adam and Eve. I'm glad it wasn't Adam and Steve. Amen? I'm glad it was Eve, a woman instead of a man. Because God wants a man and woman, not man and man, woman and woman. Yeah. This same-sex marriage is an abomination to God. But God started with them. And the Bible says in 3:21 Genesis, He clothed them. Well, an innocent lamb had to die so they could be clothed. God taught Adam and Eve, "I'm going to redeem you by the blood of the Lamb." And we know that He taught them that because the very next chapter, Genesis chapter 4, verse 4, they had a son named Abel. And the Bible said Abel offered up a lamb, sacrificed a lamb. And God accepted his offering, but Cain offered the fruit of his works of his hands, and God didn't accept it. See, because God said, "The only way to approach me is through the shed blood of the Lamb." See, one day, you teach your son, Adam, and he'll teach his son, and they'll just keep teaching it down. One day, God's going to send a sacrificial lamb that's going to shed his blood for your sins. These are all in type right now, but one day, the real thing, like you kids with the Coke, or which was it, Coke or Pepsi? The real thing? One day, God said, "I'm going to send you the real thing." And it was Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. That's why John the Baptist, when he saw him, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And so in Genesis 4:4, we see the blood atonement through the lamb. In Moses, Exodus chapter 12, in Exodus chapter 12, verse 12 through 14, remember when God was taking the Israelites out of the bondage of Egypt for 400 years? Remember that? How did he take them out? He said, "Put the blood on the doorpost." And he says in verse 13 of Exodus chapter 12, when I see the blood, Exodus chapter 12, verse 12 through 14, He said, "I will pass over you." And all that had the blood that day, they lived. And those that didn't have the blood, they died. You see, there's always been a blood atonement to get you saved. Moses was saved by a blood atonement. Adam was saved by a blood atonement. Adam and Eve and Abel were all saved by a blood atonement. In the Old Testament, just like in the New Testament. Are you still with me? And for 4,000 years, they offered up blood. See, the Old Testament covers from Genesis up to Jesus, 4,000 years, approximately. So 4,000 years, they offered up the Passover lamb. And then Jesus came, which Corinthians 5:7 says, Christ is our Passover. 1 Corinthians 5:7. Can anyone say amen? And so that blood that Christ shed on the cross was really what God had been promising for 4,000 years. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And when you study the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, all the Old Testament priests, every year, the Old Testament priests, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, they would go in the holies of holies, the temple, and they would offer up in the holies the blood for themselves and for the people. Because even the high priest had sinned. But it emphasized there, and as you study in the Old Testament, they went in every year not without blood. Not without blood. In other words, blood was a requirement. If they didn't have the blood of the lamb, they didn't have remission of sin. And then Jesus came. And he shed his blood on Calvary's cross. And then he ascended into the heart of the earth. And then he rose the third day. Can anyone say amen? Amen. And touch me not yet, Mary. I'm not yet ascended. He took all that blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary, that blood that was eternal blood, That blood's up in heaven right now on the mercy seat, because everything you see in the Old Testament was in type and figure of what's really in heaven. So when you're reading about those things in the Old Testament, God was giving you a picture, a forelook of what really is in type, what's in real, what you saw in type, what's in reality in the splendor of heaven was God. Can anyone say amen? So Eddie took that blood, and Jesus took that blood and put all that blood on the mercy seat up in heaven. And now, see, God says we go through him through the blood. Now, without the shedding of blood, Hebrews 9:22, there's no remission, there's no forgiveness. See, no one could go to heaven until that blood was shed. That's why they were in Abraham's bosom, in the heart of the earth. They were waiting for that blood to be shed. Oh, they had a covering, but they didn't have because the blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away the sins. It took the Lamb of Christ's blood to shed to take our sins away. And once it was shed, then that's why a Christian today, because the blood's up there, the moment the person, a Christian, dies, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. We have immediate access now because of the blood. I want you to see something. Listen, we have a bloody religion. Boy, that Baptist preacher down there, you got a bloody religion down there, that preacher. When they say that to you, you say, amen. Let me show you some scriptures about the blood. Look at Romans chapter 3, of course. We have to start with Romans, because that's a foundational book. Five major doctrines taught in the book of Romans, and it's probably your preacher's favorite book. Romans chapter 3, and look at verse 24 and 25. Being justified, how many want to be justified? All right, I'm in Romans 3, 24. Being justified freely by his grace, it's all free, unmerited favor, through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. It's not in the church. Not in Jim Jones. Not in Buddha. Not in Muhammad. It's in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Whom, verse 25, God set forth to be a propitiation. Means that he satisfied that God, outraged the holy God over sin. That act he did on the cross. He satisfied. He assuaged God's wrath. Through faith. In his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. But it's all through the blood. I think Mr. MacArthur, elder in California, has got it all wrong. John MacArthur says, we don't need the blood. I want to tell you something. The Bible says, let God be true, and John MacArthur, a liar. And anybody else that would say it. Let God be true and every man a liar. The Bible says it's the blood of Jesus that was shed for the remission of our sins. Mr. MacArthur, I'm going to tell you something. Hope you get this by way of internet. You need that blood. Amen. If you have the blood, he's not going to pass over you. The death angel is going to come. Can anyone say amen? Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. I like preaching on the blood. Satan hates it. Look at Ephesians 1:7. Ephesians 1:7. Galatians, Ephesians. I know I got my Bible somewhere here. Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Where do you get redemption? Where do you get forgiveness? Through the blood. Who's the person that shed the blood? Christ, you're right. Look at Colossians 1:14. Colossians 1:14. In whom we say same thing again. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. They're all underneath the blood. They're covered in the blood. That's why I don't have to worry about losing my salvation. He wrote my name down in the Lamb's book of life in blood. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. 1 Peter, by the way, there's tons of them. I just took a few of them. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. But if you notice, I started in Genesis, and I'm still telling you about it all through the Bible. 1:18 of 1 Peter. For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by traditions from your father. But here's how you were redeemed. I'm in 1 Peter 1:19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish, without spot. And take it to the next verse if you want. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. And I taught the class last week in Romans. God knew even before he made us, before he made the earth, before the earth was formed, before the Atlantic Ocean, before the trees, the sun, the moon, the stars, before he did any of that, God foresaw, because he's all-knowing, he's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He saw that man would fall. And Bobby, God saw in the foreknowledge that man would fall and be sinners and would need to be saved. And he said, redemption, redemption, redemption for fallen man will be redeemed by the blood. That's what he said. Even before one bird ever flew in the sky, before the rivers ever flowed, before a cloud ever came in, the sun was risen and the moon and the stars sparkled, God said, we'll have redemption through the blood. Before Adam and Eve was ever created and made, Steve, God said the blood atonement would be the way of redemption. How dare anyone say to me that the blood atonement is not part of the redemption plan? When God said from the beginning, before we ever started, that was the plan. Through Christ and his blood. And for 50 years, Bethel Baptist Church has been preaching the blood. We've been holding fast. And by the way, if preacher drops and one of you young folks, you keep preaching that blood. It's what God said. Can anyone say amen? Notice, go to Revelation. You're so close to it. Just go up a couple more books. Look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Revelation 1, 5. And from Jesus Christ, who's the faithful witness, and he is, the first begotten of the dead, yep, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto us, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Mr. MacArthur, you better read your Bible. Probably read an NIV. See, the NIV and AKEYMOUSD and all the other perversions, they're taking the blood out. See, the liberal churches, they're taking the blood out of their songbooks. They're taking it out of their Bibles. All the other perversions, because, see, God's way is through the blood. American Standard and all the rest of the perversions. You say, preacher, I wouldn't say that. But, well, if I was you, I wouldn't say it, but I will because I want to say it. How dare you? Someone needs to tell you. And I'm just a guy. Amen. He's washed us from our sins in his own blood. And that was the blood that he shed on Calvary's cross. I'm going to tell you, the scripture says, Leviticus 17:11 says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And Jesus on the cross gave his life. He shed his blood, his life blood for you and I. Can anyone say amen? While you're in Revelation, just look at 7:14. Might as well just have a little fun trip here. 7:14 of Revelation. And I said to him, sir, thou knowest. He said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Not only did he save us before the trib in the church age, the tribulation saints are being saved by the blood. See, there's never been a time when Adam and Eve, all the way up, there are seven dispensations of time taught in the Bible. Seven dispensations. The word dispensation means a period of time. Seven dispensations. And every one of those dispensations, though, it's always been the blood. It's never not been the blood. There's an idiot down there in Florida that teaches that the Old Testament saints were saved by keeping the works, the law. Yeah. And, he believes the King James Bible, but he can't pull that knucklehead. What's that knucklehead? Yeah, thank you. Peter Ruckman. Hope they hear this. All the Ruckmites, so they'll get tore up over this. Peter Ruckman believes that the Old Testament saints were saved by works, by doing those circumcision and stuff like that. I got news for Peter Ruckman. Anybody else who believes that? Old Testament saints were saved just like we were, by the blood. And the reason they did those things is because they believed in the blood atonement to come. They got saved looking towards the cross. We got saved looking back. They got saved, but they got saved knowing that one day they didn't know it was going to be Jesus. They known that, they would have took him. I understand that. Don't need to be a rocket scientist to understand that. But they knew that God was going to send a Messiah that was going to be to give the sacrifice. And that's why they did those things. They said, we don't understand all, but we believe it. See, that's all you got to do. You have to understand, just believe it. That's the only thing about salvation that man's got is the responsibility to believe. Because God, see, salvation is all of God. And that's why man gets mad. Man wants to have part in salvation. Psalm 3:8 says salvation is of the Lord. It's all God. I love that. But people are always trying to earn their way, make their way, deserve it. They don't. But we found last week in Romans, where's boasting? It's excluded. Because no one merits it. Because it's either, in Romans 11:6, it's either all grace and no works, or grace can't be grace. Or it's all works and no grace, or it can't be works. Hello? See, it's all grace. There's no mixture of the two. People, when they mix them, they're mixed up. You can tell them I said that. And so, he's like a god to those people. Peter Ruckman. I'll really get a bunch of them mad. Might even get some people mad today, even in this church. But don't make any man, me or anybody else, a god. The Bible says, cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he be accountable? Isaiah 2:22. I'm just a man just like you. I'm a servant of God. Pray for me and hold me up. Encourage me. But I'm telling you right now, I can fail you. I don't want to fail you, and I'm going to try not to fail you. But don't put me up on a pedestal. I'm just a man. Listen, lift up Jesus. Hold up Jesus. He'll never fail you. How many people are out of church today because they got discouraged in a man? They got their eyes on a man. They took their eyes off the Son of God and they put their eyes on a man. I want you to love me. I want you to pray for me. I want you to be stand with that. But don't worship me. Don't honor me. As a man of God, yes, but don't worship me. How many understand what I'm telling you? And don't worship Peter Ruckman either. I won't get into it. Lord, help me not to. Okay. So we're talking about the blood. And the blood atonement is not only in the New Testament, it's in the Old Testament. And it's what the tribulation saints do. Let me give you one more scripture. Look at Revelation 12:11. Yeah, I'll have to shut it down here pretty soon. How many can see it's in the blood? And they overcame him. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. I'm going to tell you right now. I think it's this one. American Express. Don't go anywhere without. I think it's the one they use. Can I tell you something? The blood of Jesus. Don't go anywhere without. You can make it without the American Express or Discovery or MasterCard, whatever they're talking about on the commercial. Don't go anywhere without it. You can be without the American Express or Discovery or everyone, but you can't be without the blood of Jesus. You will not go to heaven without the blood of Jesus. Can anyone say amen? And for Carl, for 50 years. I'm so proud to say, as the seventh pastor of Bethel Baptist Church, that all the six preachers before me too, God bless each one of those pastors. We all had mistakes. But one thing all those six preachers did before me, and your seventh preacher, they've all preached the blood. They all preached the blood. Amen? And so we got a church, Brother Miss Arlene, that's been 50 years of preaching the blood. Not only we held forth, but we stood forth. We stood and held the word of God. Amen? Can anyone say amen? Then, quickly, for 50 years we've held forth the word of God, and we've held fast the word of God. Look at one scripture, and I'll quote the rest of them. Look at Psalms 12 with me. You've got a pure Bible. If you got a King James Bible in your hand, you got a pure Bible. See, God wrote a Bible. Some people say, well, he wrote a Bible, but I don't think he preserved it. And how big a God you got? You mean you have a God that's big enough to record it but not preserve it? Ruthie, that wouldn't be a very big God. Hello? Look at Psalms 12, verse 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times, and seven's God's perfect number. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God said, Bobby, I'm going to preserve my word forever. Now, somewhere, his words, in we got it. Is it in the NIV? No, I don't believe so. The ASV? No. Living Letters? No. Macaroni and Cheese? No. Might as well call it that. Humpty Dumpty's version? No. Ken Taylor's? No. But the King made one. King James, 1611. See, they wrote the book for the King. More than the King of England. The King of Kings. See, this book comes from the King. The King of God. The Kingdom. Amen? See, I've got a Bible that I know I can believe is pure. Because God, listen, if you don't believe this Bible is pure, then how do you know you're saved? If there's an error in this King James Bible, then there could be an error with John 3:16. Come on now. You either believe it all or you don't believe it. I mean, you can't take what you want. See, some people just want, I'm not going to, they take what they want, and they don't, what they don't want, they rip out. But see, all God's word's pure, perfect. Scripture says in Psalms 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6, verse 5, every word of God is pure. Every word of God is pure. That means it's perfect. Then verse 6 says, he warns those people that try to correct it. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. The reason people try to correct this Bible, they want you to think that they're smart. See, they want to act like they know more than God. I'll tell you, the moment a guy starts correcting this Bible, you know what I do? I turn him off. Because I know one thing, that guy ain't going to help me at all, because he don't even know, he don't even, listen, if you're in a dark place, you want to get a guy that's got the light. The guy is saying, I don't know what word is. His light's out. You're going to wander in darkness with that bum. Brother, I found the light. I found the light. I found the light. I'll lead you the way with the light of God. Order my steps in thy word. We won't have time, but Peter says, 2 Peter 1, verse 20 and 21 says, that the word of God was inspired, that holy men of God moved as the Holy Spirit, wrote down as the Holy Spirit inspired them. I'm going to read it to you. Take the time. Look at 1 Peter. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. You got a pure Bible. If you can't believe your Bible, you can't believe nothing. Never had no trouble believing this Bible is true. I'm in 2 Peter 1:20. Knowing this first. God wants you to know something first. If you don't know this, you can't get to step two. That no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. Oh, they try to write Bibles. Man does. But God says, forget them. For the prophecy came not in the old time, but by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Oh, preacher, you mean, but man wrote it. Yeah, they wrote it as God's Holy Spirit told them to write it. You say, well, man can fail. Yeah, man can fail, but God can't. And you tell me that God, that has men write down his word, can't preserve it? Hello? Brother, that King James Bible is in heaven right now. You can say what you want. It's the pure word of God. It's God's Bible. And for 50 years, this church has been down here in this corner preaching out of this King James Bible, saying, come to Christ, come to Christ. I'm glad this Bible's been preached here for 50 years. Can anyone say amen? And then lastly, we've held forth the word and held fast the word of God. We preached the book. We preached the blood and the blessed hope. For 50 years, Brother Carl, we Bethel Baptist Church has held forth and held fast to the blessed hope. What is the blessed hope? I was talking to Jeannie last night about it. One day, Christ is going to come back. One day, we're going to be called up and we're going to get glorified bodies. One day, we're going to go to a place called heaven where he made mansions for us. One day, those that we really love that are already there, we're going to see him again. As you sing that song, you say, I saw Isaac and Jacob. You're going to see Rebecca too. She could be in that song. And I'm going to see my mama. Can anyone say amen? And all those that love God, they're up there ahead of us. We're going to see him because it's not over yet. Can anyone say amen? And so for 50 years, we've been preaching the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. I'll quote this scripture, and then we'll have to close. I'll quote two scriptures, and I'll have to close. I'll say a couple other ones besides that. John 14:1-3, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you to myself. Then where I am, there you may be also. Man, Scotty's up there right now. We're going to see Scotty someday. Hallelujah. That's a blessed hope. I've got a mansion. When we studied Romans last week, we saw, and Peter says, it's reserved. Reserved in heaven, the Bible says in Peter. Hallelujah. I've already got my reservation made. 21:4 Revelation says, and God swiped away all tears from their eyes. There'll be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death, for the former things are passed away. That's the blessed hope. The hope of Christ coming back. And one day, we go to a better place where there's no more sorrow, no more tears, no more death. 1 Corinthians 15:51-58. Be ye steadfast in verse 50. Unmoved, for you know that your work is not in vain. Behold, I show you mystery. We shall all sleep. Be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. Don't be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those that have no hope. But those who are saying, they're going to come up with me. Are you with me? Jesus Christ will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And the trump of God shall sound. He's singing about, and we, their lives, shall be caught up together with them. That's a blessed hope. Amen? I'm going to quit. That's a blessed hope. And for 50 years, and as long as I'm here, by God's grace, Bobby, as long as he lets me live, because I'm not planning on leaving, I'm going to be preaching the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. Let's bow our heads in prayer. You know, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you don't have that blessed hope. you can have that blessed hope today. This is another day in that 50-year heritage of Bethel Baptist Church that the Word of God has went out again, and we've sounded, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And He wants to save you. If you've never been saved, you've never had the blood applied to you, you can be saved today. Jesus Christ loves you and died for your sins. And He calls out, come, come, come. Just come. Just come as you are. He'll save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You just come. Whosoever will, that means you. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you come. Maybe you want to become part of this church. You're saved. You've been baptized in a believer's baptism. And you of like faith. And you want to become part of this great heritage. Why don't you come and join the church today? Be part of it. If you're saved, you've never been baptized, come and let us baptize you. Get part of that. Become part of that great heritage. Who would say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved, and I don't know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Would you pray for that? Anyone like that today? Just raise your hand. Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't want to die and go to hell. Would you pray for me, preacher? I'm really not sure. I'm really not sure if I'm saved or not. I'm not sure if my name's written down in the book of life. Lamb's book of life. Maybe you're today and you say, preacher, I've been saved, but I've not been baptized. Pray for me. Anyone like that? I've been saved, but I need to get baptized. Don't mean you had to come, but you say, I need to pray. Would you pray about that? I need to get baptized. Maybe you're here and say, preacher, God's been speaking to me about joining the church. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Pray for us. Yes. Yes. God bless you. God bless you both. We've been praying about joining the church. Heavenly Father, I did the best I could. I believe I did what you told me. And now, Holy Spirit, it's got to be you that deals with people's hearts. I pray if there's any lost here that they'll come and be saved. I pray if there's somebody that needs to be baptized, they'll come and get baptized. I pray if there's somebody you're dealing with to be part of this church to join, that they'll come and join. Lord, whatever you want, whatever is your perfect will, I pray your will be done. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse. What page are you on, Dave?
137.
137. If you'd like to come for any reason, you come.